Welcome to Step Zero. I am your host, Caitlin Henry, life coach and sober curious turned curious for self-healing. Here, we'll dive into sober curiosity, emotional sobriety, personal growth, and spirituality. I didn't hit rock bottom. I chose to stop digging. I'm so grateful you're here. I'm going to be honest. Talking about pain makes me feel so uncomfortable. So uncomfortable that I almost scratched this episode before I even tried to draft it. But I have experienced how important feeling my way through pain is to my own sobriety, and I believe it's important to share because it's what helped me stay sober. My favorite quote is, "Your greatest gift is offering to the world what you wish had been offered to you in your moment of greatest pain." I truly believe the pain we experience is for a reason. It's for our personal growth. And the painful moments I have experienced in my life helped me become the person I am today, able to be on this podcast and share my truth. Mark Twain was quoted saying, "What is joy without sorrow? What is success without failure? What is a win without a loss? What is health without illness? You have to experience each if you are to appreciate the other. There is always going to be suffering. It's how you look at the suffering, how you deal with it, that will define you." End quote. This is truly how I felt, is that I needed to realize that I had experienced that pain and that suffering for a purpose and a reason. And for me, it looks like sharing my pain and suffering, which again helps other people feel less alone, which is a huge reason why I started this podcast. I just wanted other people to feel less alone if they were questioning their own drinking. And again, today's episode is how sharing that pain helps us evolve. And for me, deciding to stop drinking was a painful experience. It was physically painful and it was emotionally painful. I truly felt like I was suffering. It sounds really ridiculous to say that I was suffering, but that's how it felt to me. I felt like I was suffering, giving up the substance that I had made my best friend, that thing that I was using all the time in my life. And then when I didn't have it and went cold turkey, I was so confused as to why these emotions were bubbling up. I could no longer numb any of these feelings. And it made it seem like all the pain I had ever experienced bubbled to the surface because I really hadn't ever allowed myself to feel it. I would just always numb it by pouring another drink. And in today's episode, we're going to dive into how feeling pain allowed me to heal, how growth requires us to step outside our comfort zone, looking for the lesson behind the pain, and how facing grief allows you to process your pain. Let's dive in. So first, how growth requires us to step outside our comfort zone. In my own drinking, I liked to stay small and comfortable. I didn't even realize I was doing this. I was drinking and it was keeping me really small in my own life. I believed all the time that I wasn't good enough, that no matter what I did, I was just never enough. And this wasn't something I stated out loud. It was really these feelings below the surface of everything that I felt in my life. I just was never enough. I didn't do enough as maybe a daughter should for their parents, or I didn't reach out to my siblings enough as a sister, so I wasn't a good enough sister. Worse, I wasn't a good enough friend. I was never doing enough for others. And I would drink over these feelings without even realizing it. I had piled up these years of just never feeling enough, and then I hid behind all of the feelings I was having with a drink. And drinking would make me feel like I was invisible to the world, as if like I didn't see the problems the world had, I didn't see my own problems, and drinking really became a temporary escape from my own reality. And I feel like this is because when I was younger, I was a really highly sensitive child. I felt like I felt things deeply. And I was kind of angsty. Like I always thought everyone was out against me. I have these journal entries that are just like, this person doesn't like me today, or I'm feeling like this person doesn't treat me the way I deserve to be treated, or this person thinks this about me. It was never, what do I think about myself? Or it was never addressing what was really underlying those painful feelings. I thought the world was just happening to me, not for me. And when I removed alcohol, I started to feel all of these feelings again. All of these feelings I numbed from my youth. All of these feelings I numbed throughout high school and moving or college and just the hardships of life. I hadn't really felt the pain. And so I became so uncomfortable. But someone in a meeting once shared that you need to get comfortable feeling uncomfortable. And I still use that today. Like, if I'm feeling uncomfortable, let's talk about it. Let's look at why I'm feeling uncomfortable, not let's pour me a drink. Let's, like, there's that saying where it's like, pour me a drink. And I started to hear things in meetings that people were sharing, tools for how to navigate the pain. It was call your sponsor, maybe just call a friend, but to share the pain. I thought they were insane. I was like, I don't want to share my pain. I've been taught my whole life not to feel my feelings and to not say I'm in pain. And if I did say I was in pain, I would get told, well, figure out how to feel better and quick. Because they didn't feel good unless I felt good. And again, I don't blame these people around me who are helping raise me. It was as if they didn't have the tools for it either. And so these people in meetings with these new tools of pick up the phone and share it or just say it out loud, I did. I got so uncomfortable that I got comfortable picking up the phone. I would have a 20-minute conversation with another sober friend, and then I'd get off the phone and it was like, oh my gosh, it really did help alleviate the pain. And so I still get uncomfortable today, but I still use these tools. I'm so uncomfortable sharing my truth, even though you might not think it since I'm blasting myself on a podcast, but I do know that it's healing me emotionally and physically. Because I've done it so many times in meetings. I've also done speaker meetings where I'll speak for 15 to 45 minutes in front of groups that are 15 people up to 150 people. And each time I leave those meetings, I feel less pain. And I wanted to talk about this study that the National Institute of Mental Health conducted. It was for UCLA. And they actually proved that putting feelings into words produces therapeutic effects in the brain. This brain imaging study by actual psychologists revealed that verbalizing our feelings makes our sadness, anger, and pain less intense. I want to repeat that. Verbalizing our feelings makes our sadness, anger, and pain less intense. Like, I couldn't believe this. First of all, that there was an actual study done that proved it. But this is what I had experienced. I was like, how is it that by being vulnerable and by sharing, like think of everything Brené Brown says, like about this vulnerability. It's like by sharing my feelings and my truth, the pain lessened. And it helped me evolve into this, again, I've talked about on the last episode, like this fourth dimension of being able to look at my life and saying, wow, this is beautiful that I can feel this pain, heal myself, and then have it turn around and also help heal others. Like, I don't know how it works. I'm not a doctor, but it does. And this was just my experience. Like, by not numbing my feelings with alcohol, and again, sharing them out loud, sometimes it was journaling, but a lot of the time sharing it out loud, I felt like I was healing. And so the second topic I wanted to talk about today is how feeling pain allows you to heal. So that was really about sharing your pain, but this is like just feeling it. And for the longest time, I ignored pain and I would push it away. Again, I had parents and people that were raising me who didn't address or share their pain with me. I just learned that it was something that must be ignored, and we just had to figure out ways to feel better, which again, in my family, a lot of the times we just chalked it up to pour yourself a drink and we'll just talk about something else. And as I've said before, when I stopped drinking alcohol, it was like all the pain came to the surface. And so I had to deal with emotions like sadness and anger almost daily when I first got sober, when I first decided, like, I'm really not going to drink again. And while I was already starting to heal physically from cutting out that toxic substance, I was fighting sharing my pain. It also felt like I was physically feeling it. So in the last episode, I shared that I had started Al-Anon, and that's a group for people affected by someone else's drinking. And this was really the first time I saw that it was safe to share painful thoughts and feelings. So in those meetings, I would start to express my pain with words. And I realized that when I left the meeting, I felt lighter. I felt like it was in a little bit less pain. And The Body Keeps the Score is such a great book, and it basically talks about how we hold this pain in our bodies physically. And for me, it was sharing this pain that really started to alleviate it. And also at that time, I started therapy with a psychologist. I knew that even if I had Al-Anon meetings, I was only sharing for about 3 minutes. And so I was starting to uncover little bits and pieces, but I wanted to get into the meat and potatoes of this pain that I also started writing down in my step work with a sponsor. So I would bring it to my therapist and I would really dive into it for a whole hour. She would then let me go back to the original moment of pain in my head. And then I would cry and I would feel it. And I felt like I was releasing it. And each time I left one of these sessions, I just felt a little lighter, as if a bit of the pain had been removed. And I couldn't believe that by just allowing my body to feel, I was ridding myself of years of pent-up emotions, anxiety, and stress. So I eventually started the step work in AA as well. And I worked with a sponsor, and through each step, I was allowed to share my feelings of pain. I wrote about them, I shared them out loud, and I grew from that experience. I really evolved. And I'll dive deeper into the steps in a future episode. But today, I just want to say that feeling that pain led me to a place where I was able to see why I experienced that pain. And so another concept today is to start looking for the lessons behind the pain. First, you have to be aware of the pain. A lot of times we're pushing it down. We don't even realize it. And we're starting to emit another emotion where it's like sadness or anger. It's really not, hey, I'm in pain. It's, I'm going to be angry about something, or I'm going to act really sad about something. So first I had to become aware that I was feeling pain through noticing it, through these emotions, and then I would dive deeper. I'd be like, okay, well, what's behind the sadness or what's behind the anger? Some examples of pain that I had bottled up were like feeling both sad and angry that my dad's alcoholism was progressing and there was nothing I could do to change him. Or I was feeling sad and angry that I moved a lot growing up and I always had to make new friends and I just had this resentment sitting there boiling. Or I was feeling sad that I had a problem with alcohol and I didn't want to give it up. Like, I wanted to be normal like my friends. And when I finally did remove alcohol from my life, it was as if someone had given me rose-colored glasses. So I could see the world differently and that my pain actually had a purpose. And some lessons I discovered through looking at my pain differently were, let's say that thing, my dad's alcoholism, it qualified me to attend Al-Anon. But in Al-Anon, I got to learn the skill of being vulnerable. And I learned that sharing my feelings and emotions helped heal my pain. And so I wouldn't trade learning that skill of being vulnerable for anything. I can now look at having to attend Al-Anon with gratitude. And so the second thing I learned was, sure, I was angry about my past and the way I moved a lot, but putting those rose-colored glasses on, I could now look back and I could see that being put in the environment where I did have to make friends all the time and I was constantly having to meet new people, I now make friends more easily. I can walk into a meeting, make another person feel welcomed, and I can make them feel comfortable. I have more empathy and I'm more compassionate. I'm just a better person because of that way that I was raised, that I had to move a lot. And then third, with these rose-colored glasses on now and seeing my pain as a purpose, I really learned that feeling the pain of giving up alcohol and, yes, losing some friends that were maybe normies or maybe not, that opened my life up to make more friends. So the friendships I've acquired because of sobriety have healed parts of myself that I always felt like I was this lonely outcast. But now I attend meetings, I share my pain, and when these other people walk up to me and say, like, I resonate with your pain, want to be friends, like, want my number, let's go do something. It's all because of being willing to share my pain, evolving from it, and then sharing my experience, strength, and truth. It really helped me make sober friends and feel less alone and just feel like, wow, I have evolved as a person. I can look for the similarities in people and friendships that I really crave today to help keep me sober. And I remember in these meetings, I felt so lonely when I would share, but then these women would approach me and they would say that they related to that feeling in their early sobriety and that I never had to feel alone again. And this is why I started this podcast. I want to say for anyone listening who feels alone right now, please don't. Please feel like you can listen to these words, that when you're ready, you can share your pain. And I promise it will allow you to heal in ways that will open you up to new life experiences, that you will realize that there is a purpose behind the pain, and that you will see that the life that maybe you were numbing before can be so beautiful. And again, I'm just so grateful that I can see life this way now, that I can see when a new painful moment arises, that it's for a reason. And I might not like it, and I might want to push it away, and I might not want to deal with it, and I still might want to pick up a drink over it, but I don't, because I never regret not drinking the next day. So if I have to feel a little bit of pain in order to feel like my life has evolved for meaning and purpose, then dang it, I'm going to feel that pain and I'm going to be okay, because every single time it's been proven true. I'm sitting here today doing this podcast because of the pain that I've experienced and now wanting to help others. So the last concept I want to talk about today is how facing grief allows you to process your pain. And again, this is really hard, and also why I didn't want to write this episode today. I have dealt with grief the last 2 to 3 years of my almost 6 years of sobriety that I've never felt before in my entire life. And I had alcohol as a coping tool before. I don't have that as my coping mechanism anymore. And so today, like, just because you choose to be sober doesn't mean that you live a life free of pain. If anything, you keep on feeling your way through the pain. And I've shared before that the only way out is through. And that's how I feel about the moments of grief I've experienced in my sobriety. So in my sobriety, to share some tidbits of my truth with you, my husband and I separated and we got divorced. I lost my sponsor, who was like a second mother to me. My own father passed away about a year and a half ago. And my 13 and a half year golden retriever, she was put down 2 summers ago. And throughout these moments of grief, I was also dealing with having 3 children and having to guide them through a divorce. I was attending and then deciding to put a pause on graduate school to become a licensed marriage and family therapist because I couldn't handle it anymore. I couldn't handle everything that was going on in my life. There were so many moments of grief. But what I learned was that by facing them with a clear mind and no substances, I could feel and cry my way through the pain. And that helped me heal quicker than I had in the past. Before, I numbed my pain so often, especially holidays that are coming up now that I'm dealing with the grief of losing loved ones. I watch people around me drink And I'm thinking you're not addressing the fact that that person isn't in the room anymore. We're not talking about it and we're all feeling the same pain. But I would step away and I would take a break and I would go journal or I would call a sober friend or I would take a walk in nature and I would feel my way through it. I'd let myself cry about it. For so long, I was told, like, I'm not only told, but just felt like I couldn't cry. Like I couldn't express it. But feeling my way through the pain has helped me heal. And I knew now that I didn't have to do it alone. Again, I reached out to sober friends and I learned that by sharing my feelings, whether they were big or small, whether it was like a grief moment or whether it was just a resentment I was feeling, I would inevitably feel better. And even if not in that moment and not right away, I would over time. So I was able to practice acceptance and self-compassion more easily. A big part of my sobriety is accepting my life exactly the way it is today because I truly believe there's a reason that it's unfolding the way it is. And I feel like we're just meant to be exactly where we are. And maybe that today is listening to this podcast to realize that you can share your pain and heal too. And I sat with the pain. I took extra care to like meditate or journal, or I went to sound baths, or maybe it was just a yoga class that day if I couldn't even write it down. And this was all instead of grabbing for a drink, going out to happy hour, or turning on some mind-numbing show, or even scrolling through social. Like I would try to sit with the pain and still do. I would try to let it flow out of me. And maybe today you might be scared of what I'm saying. I know if I listened to this 6 years ago, I would be like, no way, I'm not going to do that. But I hope today that me telling you that sharing your emotions through sobriety, because you might be scared of it, like just see what it'll bring up, see what it allows to come to the surface. Because it's been proven that positive emotions are associated with healing. And so Theodora Blanchfield, this is an AMFT who wrote for Very Well Mind. She said that benefits of emotional healing include better cardiovascular health, potential for a longer lifespan. There's a lower cortisol output, which is that stress hormone. And a lower heart rate, as well as being less likely to develop flu or cold symptoms when all of those things are going around. And it's not just mental here. There are physical shifts that can happen by emotionally healing from this pain. I just want to say that facing my grief with a sober mind has allowed me to process my pain. And I feel like it's almost this transformation from like a caterpillar to a butterfly. And there's no way I could even talk on this podcast today without having done this inner work first, without having to start small sharing my pain. Again, for me, I started to share in meetings really slowly but surely, 3-minute shares. Or I would find a sponsor and I would share my pain with just that private person that I could talk to. Or again, going back to how I found a therapist. Whatever it is, doing the inner work and dealing with my pain on a personal level has allowed me to now publicly share it. And even if you don't feel like one day you want to publicly share your pain, I do know that healing from your pain will help you evolve into the person that you're meant to be. And I want to wrap today's episode by saying, I understand if sharing your pain sounds really hard. I didn't share for a really long time, but listening to others share their pain, as I've tried to today, I just hope it breaks that seal of sharing the pain that you've experienced in your own life. So you can find someone online, like who has a profile on Instagram that you resonate with, and message them. Maybe it's me. I'm at Caitlin Henry. Feel free. Or maybe you could try sharing with a good friend or a safe family member. Or maybe you could even look into one of those sober meetups online or even in person in your area Maybe this is making you feel safe enough to go try your first AA meeting. I just really encourage you to see and experience it for yourself, because I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to just guide you to the best person that you can be. I want everyone to feel like by removing alcohol from their life, by feeling their own feelings, by expressing their pain, that they can evolve to be whatever they want to be. Because for me today, it's evolving into this woman who can have a podcast about this, getting brave enough to share my experience, because I truly believe it will help someone else stay sober today. I'm currently writing a book where I'm sharing in depth about my painful past moments, which has helped me heal in ways that I never imagined were possible. I hope you'll check it out when it launches in March of 2025. And if you'd like to book a free discovery call to see how my coaching can help you reinvent your life and help you find purpose, please check out caitlinhenry.com for more. In next week's episode, we'll talk about daily rituals to keep you on track. I'm so grateful for you listening. If this resonated with you, please share it with a friend that you feel needs to hear this. I would love it if you would follow the podcast and leave me a review on Apple Podcasts. Follow me on Instagram, caitlin.henry, and check out my website for more, caitlinhenry.com. All links are in the show notes. My book is launching March of 2025. I hope you heard something that keeps you coming back.